All right, everyone get ready, because today we are taking a deep dive into all the ways climate change is impacting the world around us. Like, we're talking real-world effects here, not just the theories. You know, we're going to be looking at how it's impacting human health and ecosystems and daily life in ways you might not expect.
Yeah, and it's really amazing how these changes are happening all around us. We've got all these sources, government reports, scientific papers, oh, and even a presentation by Sir David Attenborough. They all show just how much our world is changing.
Yeah, and what we're doing in this deep dive is focusing on the consequences, not just the causes of climate change, which everyone already knows so well. We're zeroing in on what's happening right now, not just some far-off future scenario.
Right. The idea is to understand how these impacts are all connected and why they should matter to you listening right now.
So to start things off, let's talk about human health.
That's a great place to start. Climate change is kind of like a threat multiplier, you know? It takes the health risks we already have and makes them way worse. Plus, it's bringing in all these new challenges.
Like heat-related deaths, which are happening right now. In Honolulu, one study found that a crazy 82% of heat-related deaths are already linked to climate change.
And in big cities across the U.S., heat waves are getting more frequent and more intense. I mean, think about places like Chicago, Dallas, Miami. They're averaging 6 heat waves every year now. And back in the 1960s, they only had 2 on average.
And heat waves aren't just uncomfortable. They're dangerous.
Yeah.
Especially for vulnerable people, you know, older adults, people with chronic illnesses, low-income communities, and all those folks working outdoors. They're all at higher risk.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just heat we need to worry about either. Wildfires are getting more common and severe because of climate change. And all that smoke they produce, it's full of harmful stuff. So you see more asthma attacks and respiratory problems because of the smoke.
Yeah, there's that crazy example from Boise, Idaho. They had to cancel school sports because of the wildfire smoke. Air quality was just too dangerous.
Yeah, it really shows how all of this is impacting everyday life. And the Midwest is facing some serious challenges with air quality, too. Over the next few decades, we'll see more ground-level ozone and particulate matter.
And that kind of pollution has a real human cost. Some estimates are saying that by 2050, there will be an extra 200 to 550 premature deaths every year in the Midwest, just because of the air quality.
It's really concerning. And on top of all that, you have the rising temperatures leading to higher pollen counts, which of course means more allergies and asthma flare-ups.
Yeah, it's like this chain reaction of health problems all triggered by climate change.
Exactly. And it's not just humans that are feeling this. These impacts are spreading through entire ecosystems.
So let's talk about our oceans. What's happening there?
Well, the oceans are absorbing a lot of the heat that's trapped by greenhouse gases. I mean, a huge amount. So that means the surface temperature of the ocean is rising. And that's really throwing off where marine species live and how they live their lives.
Yeah, like in the Northeast, we're seeing fish stocks moving further north, which must be disrupting fishing practices pretty significantly.
It's a real problem for the fishing industry and all the communities that depend on it. And then you have the warmer water leading to more harmful algal blooms, you know, those HABs we keep hearing about.
Yeah, and here's the crazy thing. The Chukchi Sea up in Alaska, that's home to the biggest bed of resting HAB cysts. It's like a ticking time bomb, just waiting for those warmer waters to come and set it off.
That's scary because those HABs can contaminate seafood, and that poses a serious risk to human health, you know?
Yeah.
Like paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP. It's a really dangerous illness. It's caused by this neurotoxin, and it can actually be fatal.
So once again, we see how climate change impacts ecosystems, and then it comes back to directly affect us humans.
Right, and it's not just HABs. Warmer temperatures make a lot of diseases more common in aquatic organisms. So the risk of getting sick from eating seafood, that's on the rise too.
Wow, we've already covered a lot.
Yeah.
But we're just getting started on all the problems climate change is causing with water.
You got that right. So next, let's talk about how climate change is impacting water resources on a bigger scale, which is a huge deal for ecosystems and our daily lives.
Let's go back to basics for a second. How is climate change changing our rainfall?
It's making things more extreme. Some areas are getting hit with intense rainfall and floods, while others are dealing with longer and more severe droughts.
So that obviously affects how much water is available, where and when we can get it.
Totally. And it's a big problem. Like in the Southwest, which is already a really dry region, climate change is making it much worse. There's already a lot of competition for water, and those droughts are becoming more frequent and severe.
And it's not just about having enough drinking water. Droughts and heat waves and shorter winter chill hours can totally devastate agriculture.
Exactly. Crop yields are going down. And in many regions, livestock just aren't as productive anymore. Farmers and ranchers in the northern Great Plains are dealing with heat stress and all these parasites and pathogens that are impacting their livestock.
So climate change and water, they impact everything. From how much food we have to people's livelihoods, it's like a chain reaction.
And remember those water quality issues we talked about. Climate change makes them worse, too, which then boosts those HABs that are threatening both ecosystems and human health.
So we've covered water, but what about the land beneath us? How is climate change affecting the land itself?
One of the most obvious ways is rising sea levels, which are a big threat to coastal communities everywhere.
Yeah, and this isn't something that's going to happen way in the future. It's happening now. In fact, it's projected that Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands could lose 3.6% and 4.6% of their total coastal land to rising seas.
That's a massive amount of land. The consequences for those communities and their infrastructure will be devastating. Imagine drinking water pipelines, pump stations, wastewater treatment plants. All of that is at risk.
Pretty scary to think about how essential services are becoming vulnerable because of rising seas.
Yeah, and it's not just the coasts that are being affected. Up in Alaska, thawing permafrost is creating a whole bunch of problems.
Do you remind me what permafrost is again?
Permafrost is ground that has been frozen solid for at least 2 years. It makes up a lot of the landscape in Alaska, but it's starting to thaw as temperatures rise, so that's causing damage to buildings, roads, and other infrastructure.
Oh, and I read about this really interesting example. In Alaska, lots of people use traditional ice cellars dug into the permafrost to store their food. But now, with the thawing and the coastal erosion, these cellars are becoming unusable.
Right. The food spoils, and that increases the risk of disease outbreaks. This is a big issue for food security in Alaska, especially for indigenous communities. They depend on traditional hunting and fishing, so they're really feeling the effects of climate change.
So we've seen how climate change is impacting human health and ecosystems and even our infrastructure. But what about the stuff that affects our everyday lives? How do all these changes translate into things that everyone can feel?
Well, one way is that climate change is disrupting traditional ways of life, especially for indigenous communities that are so connected to the land.
Yeah, that must be tough. They're seeing the natural systems they depend on become unstable, and that's going to impact their physical, mental, and spiritual health.
It really shows how climate change isn't just an environmental problem, it's a social justice issue, too. But there are communities taking action to adapt.
You mean like the Lummi and Swinomish Nations in Washington State?
Exactly. They're right on the front lines dealing with rising sea levels and HABs and all these other threats. But they're not just waiting around. They're coming up with plans to protect their communities.
So they're blending traditional knowledge with modern science to come up with solutions.
Exactly. And it's not just indigenous communities that are feeling the effects. Shifting seasons are impacting agriculture and food production for all of us.
And that could lead to food shortages and higher prices.
Right. And we're also seeing climate change disrupt outdoor recreation.
You mean things like ski resorts struggling with shorter winters?
Exactly. And coastal communities dealing with beach erosion and flooding.
Yeah.
It all adds up to a big impact on tourism and how we spend our leisure time.
So climate change is already hitting us in all these ways, and we haven't even talked about one of the biggest impacts, how it's affecting our mental health.
That's right. It's really important to talk about that. How do you think climate change is affecting how we feel?
Well, just think about it. We're constantly being bombarded with news about climate change. We're seeing these extreme weather events happening.
Yeah.
And we're feeling anxious about what the future holds. It all takes a toll.
Yeah, no wonder people are feeling anxious and depressed about it.
And in communities that have been hit hard by extreme weather, we're seeing increases in post-traumatic stress disorder as well.
It's like climate change is inflicting this invisible wound, and it often gets overlooked. People who have been displaced from their homes or lost their livelihoods because of climate change, that's a huge psychological burden to carry.
And then there are the farmers and ranchers we talked about. They're facing this growing anxiety about climate change and how it's going to affect their ability to provide for their families.
Absolutely. Climate change is a stressor in so many ways. And those impacts on mental health are just as real and important as the physical ones.
It's a lot to take in, all of these negative impacts. It's easy to feel overwhelmed or even hopeless.
I understand, but it's important to remember that there is hope. There are people and groups out there that are actively working to adapt and mitigate the effects of climate change.
Like that Vermont Climate and Health Program, which is focused on getting ready for extreme heat.
Exactly. They're helping communities figure out who's most at risk and create plans for dealing with the heat.
And in Boston, the Public Health Commission has a great heat awareness campaign with materials in multiple languages.
Yeah, they're trying to reach all those vulnerable populations to reduce heat-related illnesses.
Those are just two examples of the incredible work that's being done to build a more resilient future.
It's a good reminder that we can all play a role in tackling climate change, even in small ways. It's about making smart choices and reducing our carbon footprint, supporting sustainable practices, and speaking up for change.
So we've talked about all the impacts, but let's switch gears for a second and talk about the science behind all of this.
Okay, sounds good. At this point, there is so much evidence that climate change is caused by humans. I mean, we're talking about basic physics, historical data, sophisticated climate models. They all point in the same direction.
Can you break it down for us? What are the most important pieces of evidence?
Well, first, we know that greenhouse gases, like carbon dioxide, trap heat in the atmosphere. That's basic physics that we've known about for over 100 years.
Right, the greenhouse effect, like a blanket trapping heat around the Earth.
Exactly, and we've been measuring CO2 levels in the atmosphere for decades, and they've been steadily increasing ever since the Industrial Revolution.
The more CO2 means more heat trapped, which makes the planet warmer.
Precisely. And we can actually see this warming trend in global temperature records. The average temperature of the Earth has gone up by about 1 degree Celsius since the late 1800s.
That might not sound like a lot, but as we've been talking about, it's already having a huge impact.
Right. And it's important to remember that this warming is happening really fast, faster than anything we've seen in human history. We can look back at climate records from millions of years ago, and we don't see anything like this.
So this isn't just natural changes, there's something else going on.
Exactly, and the evidence points to us. Human activities, especially the burning of fossil fuels, that's the main driver of this warming trend.
You still hear people saying it's all natural or that the sun is causing it, but what does the science actually say about that?
Scientists have looked into those claims, and the evidence just doesn't support them. Natural factors like changes in the sun's activity or volcanic eruptions, those have always played a role in climate change. But their impact on the warming we're seeing now is tiny compared to the impact of greenhouse gas emissions from human activities.
So it's not just about CO2. There are other things that contribute to climate change too, right?
Yes, there are other greenhouse gases like methane and nitrous oxide and fluorinated gases. They come from all kinds of sources like agriculture, industry, and transportation. And some of them are even better at trapping heat than CO2.
Like methane, right?
Right.
I think I read that it's something like 80 times more powerful than CO2 over a 20-year period.
You're right. So it's not enough to just reduce CO2 emissions. We have to tackle these other gases as well.
And it's not just about the gases themselves, is it? It's about what happens when they're released into the atmosphere.
Exactly. There are all these complex interactions between the atmosphere and the oceans and the land and the ice sheets. And those interactions can create feedback loops that either make climate change worse or try to slow it down.
Can you give us an example of a feedback loop?
Sure. As the Earth gets warmer, sea ice melts, which exposes the darker ocean water. That darker water absorbs more heat than the reflective ice, which makes things even warmer and causes more ice to melt. It's a vicious cycle.
Like a domino effect, one change triggers another.
Exactly. And these feedback loops make it super hard to predict exactly what the consequences of climate change will be. But the message is clear. The more greenhouse gases we release, the bigger the risk of severe and irreversible damage to our planet and our lives.
It can be pretty overwhelming. But you mentioned earlier that climate models are helping us understand these complex interactions. Mm. How do those models actually work?
They're basically really advanced computer programs that simulate the Earth's climate system. They use everything we know about physics and chemistry and biology, plus tons of data, to project how the climate might change in the future.
So they're like virtual laboratories where scientists can test out different scenarios.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. Scientists can change things like greenhouse gas concentrations in the model and then see how those changes affect global temperature, sea levels, rainfall patterns, and a bunch of other variables.
And are these models pretty accurate?
They've gotten really good. They've been able to accurately reproduce past climate changes. And their projections for how much warming we'll see in the future match up with what we're seeing now.
So they're giving us a reliable look into what the future might hold.
They're the best tool we have right now for understanding the risks of climate change. Now, and making informed decisions about how to reduce those risks.
Okay, so the science is clear. Climate change is real. It's caused by humans, and it's already having a big impact. And the longer we wait to take action, the worse it's going to get. So what can we actually do about this? What are the main strategies for tackling this problem?
The most important thing is to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. And that's going to require action from everyone, governments, businesses, and individuals.
Well, it's a team effort.
Absolutely. Governments need to create policies and regulations that encourage clean energy, energy efficiency, and sustainable practices.
Things like carbon pricing and subsidies for renewable energy and fuel economy standards.
Exactly. Businesses can help by investing in cleaner technologies, minimizing their environmental impact, and adopting sustainable practices.
And what about people like us? What can we do?
Of course. There are a lot of choices we can make to reduce our individual carbon footprints.
Like driving less, using energy-efficient appliances, eating less meat, those kinds of things.
Those are all great examples. And it's not just about what we do individually. It's about advocating for systemic change as well.
So that means supporting policies and organizations that are working to address climate change on a larger scale.
Exactly. We need to make our voices heard and demand action from our leaders.
So mitigating climate change is about reducing emissions, but it's also about adapting to the changes that are already happening.
Yeah, that's super important, especially for communities that are already feeling the effects of climate change.
What are some examples of adaptation strategies?
It really depends on the location and the specific challenges they're facing. But some common strategies include things like building seawalls to protect coastal communities from flooding, developing crops that can withstand drought, and creating early warning systems for extreme weather events.
So it's about being prepared for the changes that are coming and trying to minimize the damage.
Exactly. And adaptation isn't just about physical infrastructure either. It's also about social and economic resilience.
Can you explain what that means?
It means creating communities that can handle and recover from climate-related shocks. So things like strengthening social safety nets, diversifying local economies, and empowering marginalized communities.
So adaptation is all about creating a more resilient future, one that can weather the storms of climate change.
Exactly. And it's an ongoing process that requires collaboration, innovation, and a commitment to equity and justice.
So we've focused a lot on the challenges of climate change. But are there any opportunities that come from this situation?
That's a great question. And yes, amidst all the challenges, there are some opportunities. For example, shifting to a clean energy economy could create new jobs, stimulate innovation, and improve public health.
So it's not just about avoiding bad things, it's about creating something better.
Exactly. Addressing climate change forces us to rethink our relationship with the natural world. It's a chance to build a more sustainable and equitable future, one that respects our planet's limits and values the well-being of all people.
Speaking of rethinking our relationship with the natural world, what do you think of Sir David Attenborough's presentation?
Oh, you know I'm a huge fan of Sir David. He's a legend. What did he have to say?
He was talking about how important biodiversity is and how human activities are threatening it.
That's a really important point. We need biodiversity to have a healthy planet. It gives us food, clean water, medicine, and so much more. It even helps regulate the climate.
It's like this web of life and we're messing it up.
Exactly. And Sir David was pointing out how climate change is adding another layer of stress to ecosystems on top of habitat loss, pollution, and invasive species.
Yeah, he made a great analogy. He said that the natural world shelters and protects us. Like trees protect our homes from flooding and coral reefs protect our coastlines from storms.
That's a powerful image. We depend on nature for our survival, but we're destroying it at an alarming rate.
And climate change is making those threats even worse.
Absolutely. It's creating conditions that make it even harder for ecosystems to adapt. For example, warming temperatures are causing coral bleaching, which can kill entire reefs. And changes in rainfall patterns are messing up the timing of plant and animal life cycles, which leads to mismatches between predators and prey.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and it's happening all over the world. We're seeing mass extinctions, the collapse of fisheries, and the spread of invasive species.
It really shows that climate change isn't just an environmental problem. It's a human rights issue, a social justice issue, and an economic issue all rolled into one.
That's why it's so important to understand how all these issues are connected. We can't just focus on climate change by itself. We have to consider its impacts on biodiversity, human health, and our social and economic systems.
So it's not just about reducing emissions. It's about creating a more sustainable and equitable world for everyone.
Exactly. It's about shifting our values and priorities, embracing innovation, and working together to build a better future. Yeah, it really does feel like a whole new way of looking at things.
So we've covered a lot of ground so far, the science, the impacts on our health, ecosystems, daily life. But what do we do now? I mean, what can we actually do about all this?
Yeah, it's not a quick fix, that's for sure. But there are two main paths we have to take. First, we have to reduce our emissions to try and mitigate climate change. And second, we have to adapt to those changes that are already baked in, so to speak.
It's kind of like trying to turn a giant ship away from an iceberg while also getting the lifeboats ready. Just in case.
Exactly. On the mitigation side, it's all about bringing down those greenhouse gas emissions. And that takes action from everyone. Individuals, communities, countries, the whole world.
So everyone has a role to play.
Absolutely. Governments have a huge responsibility. They need to make policies that support clean energy, energy efficiency, sustainable practices, things like carbon pricing, subsidies for renewable energy, fuel economy standards.
And businesses can help by investing in cleaner technologies and reducing their environmental impact and adopting more sustainable practices.
Right. And then there's what we can do as individuals. We can all make choices that reduce our own carbon footprint.
Can you give us some examples? What are some concrete things that people can do?
Well, let's start with transportation. Could you walk or bike or take public transportation more often? Could you carpool or choose a more fuel-efficient car?
What about things we can do around the house?
There's a ton you can do there. Switch to more energy-efficient appliances, LED light bulbs, use less hot water, make sure your house is properly insulated.
I've also heard that our diet makes a difference.
You're right. Animal agriculture is a major source of greenhouse gases. So cutting back on how much meat you eat, especially red meat, can have a big impact.
It's pretty amazing how much our daily choices are connected to this global issue. But it's not just about individual actions, right? We also need to change the systems that are in place.
You got it. We have to advocate for change. That means supporting policies and organizations that are working to address climate change at a larger scale. You can vote for leaders who prioritize climate action, get involved in your community, make your voice heard.
So mitigation is about preventing things from getting worse. But what about adaptation? What does that actually look like?
Adaptation is all about accepting that climate change is already happening and then getting prepared for its impacts. It's about building resilience, whether that's for physical infrastructure, natural systems, or even our social and economic structures.
Do you have any examples of adaptation strategies?
Sure, but it really depends on the location and what risks they're facing. For example, coastal communities might need to build seawalls or plan a managed retreat to deal with rising sea levels. Drier regions might need to develop crops that can handle drought or improve how they manage their water.
And it's not just about physical things, right?
That's right. Adaptation also includes things like strengthening social safety nets, diversifying local economies, and making sure marginalized communities have more power. These are all crucial for building resilience to the impacts of climate change.
So it's kind of like creating a safety net for when those disruptions inevitably happen.
Exactly. Adaptation isn't about giving up. It's about understanding the reality of climate change and finding smart ways to navigate the challenges.
It seems like a lot of this comes down to thinking long term and considering how our actions will impact future generations.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. We're not just managing the planet for ourselves. We're stewards for the generations that come after us. And honestly, a lot of the solutions for climate change align with making the world a better place for everyone.
How so?
Well, think about it. Investing in clean energy creates jobs and reduces pollution and improves public health. Protecting forests and natural ecosystems protects biodiversity and helps regulate the climate and provides resources for communities. Supporting sustainable agriculture leads to more food security and resilience.
So it's not just about avoiding a catastrophe. It's about making a healthier and more sustainable world along the way.
Exactly. It's a win-win.
You know, as we've been discussing these impacts, I'm noticing that some of the places we've mentioned, like Alaska and the Northeast and the Southwest, they seem to be getting hit with multiple impacts at the same time.
You're right. It's like climate change is piling on top of all these other problems.
Like a perfect storm.
Exactly. Imagine a forest that's already been cut down or polluted. Or maybe there are invasive species taking over.
So it's already in a fragile state.
Right. And then climate change comes along. It just makes everything worse. It could be the final straw that pushes that ecosystem past the point of no return.
So it's not just the direct impacts of climate change we need to worry about. It's also how those impacts make existing problems even worse.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so complicated. These systems are all interconnected in ways we don't even fully understand. So climate change can set off all these chain reactions that ripple through ecosystems and societies.
Can you give us an example? Like, how would that actually play out in the real world?
Okay, let's go back to the Southwest, since we've been talking about that region a lot. You've already got water shortages there because of the drought. Then you add in rising temperatures, which increase evaporation.
So even less water for everyone.
Right, and that puts a lot of pressure on agriculture and natural ecosystems and, of course, people living in cities. The competition for water gets more intense, which can lead to conflict, economic problems.
And then people might even be forced to leave their homes to find water and new ways to make a living. It's like a domino effect.
Exactly. You can see how climate change can have all these far-reaching consequences that go way beyond the immediate environmental impacts.
It's like a web of interconnected crises.
And that's why we need to approach climate change in a more holistic way. It can't just be about reducing emissions, although that's obviously super important. We also need to address all those social and economic and political factors that make people vulnerable and create inequality in the first place.
So it's about creating a more just and resilient world for everyone.
You've got a world that can handle the challenges of climate change, but also one that's built on fairness and sustainability.
This deep dive has been really eye-opening. It's clear that climate change is complex and affects so many different things. It can feel pretty daunting.
It's true. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by all of this, but we can't forget that even the smallest actions can make a difference. There's power in collective action and in each of us taking responsibility.
We've explored the science and the impacts and even how some communities are adapting and becoming more resilient. Now, we want to leave you with this question. What will you do? What steps will you take to create a better future for yourself and for future generations? Think about that as we wrap up this deep dive into the impacts of climate change.